And is it true that with the bottle bill in New York City, you have to bring bottles back to where you bought them originally? The same store?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
You have to bring them to a store that actually sells it. Like a lot of stores, if they don't sell Budweiser beer, and you bring them back a Budweiser bottle, they're not going to take it because the vendor doesn't come there, you know? But there's no way for a store to know whether you bought it in their store, so there's really no control. A store would like to say they don't want to accept it, but I mean, you have all of these machines outside a supermarket that, any of the people that, live off bottles, that are out there picking up whatever they can get, they go to the machines outside the supermarkets, they take anything, if the store sells it. But most of the bottles they do, unless it's an exotic, blend. I mean, I guess the real question is, who gets all the nickels that don't go back? That used to be the big question for many of the, I used to have to give a lot of talks to people that came from Japan and China and all. And when they got to recycling, that was their big question, who gets all the money? Because it's millions and millions of dollars. In other words, that, you as a consumer are paying a nickel for the bottle. Now you decide to throw it in the regular garbage. Well, somebody got that 5 cents that you paid. Who is it? Is it the manufacturer or is it the retailer? And it ends up being a manufacturer. They're the ones that collect it. So that's why a lot of the going when it first started, that's what happened. But then I guess people thought about it a while, and that's why they're trying to get some of that money. Like when they passed the new bottle bill, I think, and that's with on water bottles, that the money that isn't given back, that would fund part of the recycling or something. That was new, people started catching on. There's a lot of money out there that's somebody's getting for actually doing nothing. You know what I mean? So that's what happens with the bottle bill.
So in terms of other recycling things in the city, what happens to all the paper, for instance? You mentioned that's a pretty s simple,
Yeah,
relatively.
the paper is a commodity where the city, I would say, makes money on. They sell it. I mean, one of the back in the 90s, an Australian firm called VC Paper, they proposed to the city. It was under Giuliani, I think, at the time, that they would build a plant out in Staten Island, very close to the landfill. And they would accept X amount of paper there to, and they would make corrugated cardboard out of it. So they'd recycle it and put it back in the system. So, they got some incentives, I believe, from the city. They ultimately built the plant, and they would accept it by barge. So it was a barge facility and a truck delivered facility. So 59th Street in Manhattan. All of Manhattan paper goes to 59th Street Marine Transfer Station. It gets loaded into barges. Those barges go out to VC, and VC takes care of it. Staten Island paper goes to VC. Some Brooklyn districts go to VC. The Bronx and Queens district, they go to another paper recycler that pays us X amount of dollars. So that's essentially how the paper goes. And the other vendors, I know VC makes corrugated cardboard. That's what they make out of the recycled paper, and they take all the paper mixed, it's mixed paper and all of that. So that's how all the, it's usually, I think it's roughly about 1,500 tons a day is collected daily in the city 6 days a week of paper.
Wow.
And that's what happens to it. I mean, one of the issues in, I mean, it always happens, I guess, is you get a lot of money per ton for paper, and so they've been catching some people stealing the paper that are out in the street, actually, because the vans come by, grab the paper, because they go somewhere to sell it.
Oh.
Once it's on the street, it belongs to the department, so.
So they are legitimately stealing.
Right, exactly.
So what happens with the plastic and glass then.
Yeah, metal, plastic, and glass. Well, that's the other side of the recycling stream. That's all source separated. So the paper goes out, and that goes in a separate truck. The metal, plastic, and glass goes in another truck. It gets delivered. I mean, they only collect in New York City number one and two plastic. Mm-hmm. I think they're expanding, and that's a function of the vendor they bring it to that has to expand it to take those materials. But they separate at the facility when it's delivered the metal, and the metal makes money. I mean, I'm sure they make money. The glass gets separated into a separate stream for them. I don't believe there's a lot of outlets for glass anymore. You know, when they first did recycling, there was lots of outlets, you know, and I mentioned this is, you know, you had like glass vault. People were looking for alternative uses to use the glass, you know, again. So they came up, but then other regulations came in place. So like, for instance, glass vault is DOT, Department of Transportation. They had their own recycling regulations put on them that their plant, their millings, they had to recycle 90% of their millings. So now they don't want, it was hard enough for them to recycle the 90%, they're not going to add glass to it now. You know, because it would weaken it. They're just trying to figure out how they could even recycle the millings. So, you know, the ultimate uses for glass have deteriorated. You know, there's not a definite, like you can't say, well, glass makes this. It doesn't. There's always new things coming up because there's no end answer. Like, for instance, paper, it's making corrugated cardboard. Mm-hmm. There's an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, and they could take as much paper as they can get and keep making it, you know. But on the glass side, it's not. They tried alternatives to cover for the landfills. They would want to use glass. We couldn't use it at Fresh because there was a stability issue with the size of equipment we had. But a lot of the smaller landfills, they might use it as some kind of benefit to their cover. It saves them a few dollars or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens to glass. The metal, like I said, that gets sold. That's always recycled. Mm-hmm. And then the plastic, I mean, that's a light amount of material. It's not a... It's not, you know, it's volume-wise is a lot, but weight-wise, it's very light. You know, a plastic bottle that's empty is very light. And, you know, they do one and two. There's outlets for them. I mean, there's loads of outlets for them. So plastic gets used. You know, I think glass is the touchy point right now on whether it really gets recycled or not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is that why the bottle bill came about? It's a way to give it back to manufacturers?
Well, that was one way. I mean, I don't know exactly how it came about, you know, the bottle bill. I think it did force some recycling, you know, to go ahead and recycle. I mean, because it separates the actual material. You know, you have a certain type of material. Whereas, you know, let's face it, you know, you have human error that's, you know, involved with the collection end of it. I mean, you have a little machine out there that takes bottles. It takes bottles. You can't stuff a kid's playset into the little thing. But whereas, if you left it on the street and the sanitation worker didn't realize that's not a number one, two, and he throws it in the thing, you'll have mixed bag of plastic stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so in one way, you get more pure material in the bottle bill and that you may not get the other way.
Okay. All right. okay, I think that's all I had.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.